and specifically the residents of Vrindavan, the elders, raising questions of Nanda Maharaj about who is Krishna, what is Krishna's position. And he responded, Nanda Maharaj responded by almost verbatim, because our acharyas say there's some slight two words difference from what Nanda Maharaj repeated, from what Garga Muni said, but the meaning is the same. And his reassurance for them was twofold. Don't let your natural affection for him, for Krishna, be diminished by recognizing these special powers that he has. Give him your blessings, treat him with the same affection that you've been feeling, and continue going forward in time to feel those feelings of affection. And how he does these wonderful things was revealed by Garga Muni. That is, Narayana has invested some potencies in him to give protection to the residents of Vrindavan. So that's how he's doing what he's doing. And he told me to give protection to this little boy. So you also give protection to this little boy, give you blessings. And they were pacified. Their astonishment disappeared. And let's see if I can find where we ended up. Yeah, we read what from chapter 45 of Canto 46 from Canto 10, where Uddhava pays a visit to Vrindavan as a messenger from Krishna, to carrying a letter to the gopis, that section. And his first stop was at the home of Nanda. And so Uddhava speaks what he understands. What is Krishna's position? And we read how Nanda processed what Uddhava had to say. So here's further commentary. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti, Jiva Goswami, and his exclusive commentary on the 10th canto. So he's writing on 10.8.13. That's Garga Muni's words to Nanda at the time of the name-giving ceremony. Here's his commentary. What Garga is saying to Nanda is this, not revealing that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Krishna's accepting bodies is done independently by his will, as if by the power of yoga. His method of worship is indicated by showing the nature of Narayana through his acceptance of different colors. In those previous times, by worship of those different forms, which are actually Krishna's expansion, Krishna attained similarity to those forms and took on those colors. Tricky. At the present time, by worshipping Narayana directly in his blackish form, the child has become blackish also. It will be said, coming up later in this chapter, 8, Narayana samo Gunai. That's one of the texts that we read. Narayana Samo. Sama, equal, or like. Gunai, in quality. The child has qualities like Vishnu. Thus, his previous births were described, and Nanda, a great devotee, was satisfied. It should be understood that Krishna is also the principal name, since in this form he is fixed in his natural form with display of the highest qualities. Thus the meaning also is, he assumed the form whose name is Krishna. Then there's another reference to this verse that we read that that's, Again, this is Jiva Goswami speaking, or writing, and this is in prior to the Gopi Gita section, so it's about the gopis. Goddess Lakshmi, whose glance is sought after by the devatas with great endeavor, has achieved the unique position of always remaining in the chest of her Lord Narayana. Still, she desires his lotus feet, Krishna, even though she has to share that dust with Tulsi Devi and with the Lord's many other servants. Similarly, we, the gopis, have approached the dust of your lotus feet for shelter. Did we read this already? Yes? Okay. Text 24 translation. Sukadeva Goswami continued, having heard Nanda Maharaj relate the statements of Garga Muni, the residents of Vrindavan became enlivened. Their perplexity was gone, and they worshipped Nanda and Krishna with great respect. So this is that the mood of astonishment has now subsided, and they're going to get back to business as usual. Just seeing Krishna as their son. Or Nanda's son, but like their affection, thus their son. So in Rupa Goswami's, language, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindur Nectar Devotion, there's different ones. Adbhuta, like we say, Adbhuta Shringha. Adbhuta, wonderful. See Lord Shringadevan, Adbhuta Shringa. Or he also uses other terms. So here it's this Maya, and it's being translated, BBT translation is perplexity. Their perplexity was gone, and now business as usual. They worshipped Nanda and Lord Krishna with great respect because he's their king. And the commentary, BBT, reads, Srila Jiva Goswami explains that in this verse, the word anarchu indicates that the residents of Vrindavan honored Nanda and Krishna with such offerings as fragrances, garlands, and garments brought from their homes. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur adds that the residents of Vrindavan honored Nanda and Krishna with loving offerings of jewels and gold coins. Apparently, Lord Krishna was playing in the forest when this conversation took place, so when he returned home, the residents of Vrindavan encouraged him by decorating him with beautiful yellow garments, necklaces, armlets, earrings, and crowns by shouting, all glories to the jewel of Vrindavan. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary. They honored Nanda by offering gifts of gold coins, cloth, and jewels. When Krishna returned from the forest in the evening, they took care of Krishna by ornamenting him with yellow cloth, necklaces, bracelets, earrings, and crown, and saying, "Glory to the jewel of Braja Bhumi. May you live a long life." Blessings. He who just lifted the hill with the little finger of his left hand, is they're giving their blessings. Because using the language that our commentators are using, their natural affection, meaning their spontaneous, intimate love for Krishna is back in place. The astonishment has been removed. And so now they're elders, so they're giving him blessings. That's what elders do. Jiva Goswami writes, that's the residents of Vrindavan, the elders, heard the words of Nanda, and through that, the verses spoken by Garga. They first worshiped Nanda by bringing sandalwood, perfumes, cloth, and ornaments from their houses. Then they worshiped Krishna, since even Krishna gave respect to Nanda as his father. Krishna only returned from the forest in the evening, according to Parashara Muni. He's the speaker of Vishnu Purana. So this is a reference from Vishnu Purana. According to Parashara, the cowherds asked Krishna directly about their doubt. This version is from another kalpa. Shy to show his greater knowledge, he applied with affectionate anger. This is Krishna speaking. Quote, when Indra had gone, it's quoting Vishnu Purana. When Indra had gone, the cowherds, on seeing that Krishna had lifted Govardhan Hill, spoke affectionately to Krishna, who removes all calamity. Oh, Lord, we are most fortunate since you have saved us and the cows from the greatest danger by lifting the hill. Your play as a child is unequaled, but being a cowherd, it is to be condemned. Oh, child, how can your attractive actions be described? You subdued Kaliya in the water and killed Denuka. You lifted Govardhan. Now we have doubts in our minds. We swear at the feet of the Lord, O Krishna, of unlimited prowess. It is true. We cannot consider that you are human on seeing such powers. All of Vraja, including women and children, have affection for you, O Keshava. Even the devatas cannot perform such acts, since you have such powers as a child. It is not proper to stay among us, O unlimited Krishna. These thoughts give rise to doubt. Are you a devata, a demon, a yaksha, or a gandharva? Thinking about this, we conclude that you are our friend. We offer respects to you. Then immediately following, this is the next verses from Vishnu Purana. When the cowherd spoke in this way, wise Krishna was silent for a moment and then spoke with affectionate anger. He's going to chastise them. Oh, cowherds, if you are not ashamed of having a relationship with me, or if I am praiseworthy, then why think about this at all? If you have affection for me, and if I am praised by you, you should think of me as the closest friend. I am not a devata, gandharva, yaksha, or demon. I have been born as your friend. You should not think otherwise. Unquote. And then Jiva Goswami is summarizing. All of you, having great prowess, think of me in this way, but I should not be despised. I'm your relative and friend. If I am worthy of your praise as a friend and have powers like a devata, what is the use of thinking too much about this if you are merciful to me? Though they all had doubts removed by the answer of Nanda, they spoke eagerly to him to make this conviction stronger and hear directly from his mouth. Their doubts could not be removed by artificial methods. And there's only one more commentary, and we're going to have a shorter presentation and lots of time for discussion because we've been running way over time with our classes. So here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writing. The Brajavasis honored Nanda and Krishna with love offerings of gold coins, cloth, and jewels. Krishna was playing in the forest when this conversation took place, so when he returned home, the Brajavasis encouraged him by decorating him with yellow clothes, necklaces, armlets, earrings, and crowns, and by shouting, all glories to the jewel of Brajabhumi. May you live a long life. So it's, you know, business as usual again now. They're in the culture of their times, Nanda is the king of the cowherds. There's some nice, interesting history of how that happened, but he was appointed as the king, as Ugrasena was appointed king in Mathura. He was appointed king in the cowherd community because The king of the capital, Mathura, required necessities, so the system was like the landholder king needed agricultural fields to take care of the necessities. And so somebody was put in charge of those who supplied the necessities. So that was Nanda's position. And then Ugrasena was the king of Mathura. So, in the position of king, the king, a qualified king of those times, the qualified king was benevolent and wise, and people looked up to him as their father, and he looked at them as their children, as his children, and he took care of them and everything. You know, it was a nice arrangement. So part of the culture of those who are looking up to someone who's kind to them and maintaining them and et cetera, et cetera, is they honor that person. And this is not just ordinary honor. It's been this life-threatening situation. And they're worshiping him and offering gifts to him and singing praises to him, and as is culturally appropriate. And then Krishna had just done this miraculous thing, although he's a small boy. He saved their lives and did wonderful acts, and may you live a long life. The crest jewel of Brajabhumi, although he's a little boy. And, you know, it's, you know, what is it? In modern times, somebody gets a trophy for being on the soccer team or something like that, or, you know, winning the spelling bee, or, you know, they honor somebody that does something nice. So they're honoring in their own way. So from their home, they have gold coins and cloth and things. They don't give him a trophy. They give him their praises and meaningful gifts. It didn't say what Krishna did with all the stuff, but, you know, he just went right back to business of taking care of the cows, because it's his pastime, but it's more than a pastime. Krishna loves the cows. Krishna loves brahmanas and the cows. Namo brahmanya devaya go brahmana hitaya cha. Go brahmana hitaya cha. We heard from commentary, he especially likes the brahmanas and even more so is the cows. And therefore his planet is called Goloka. Just visiting this topic again of getting a picture of the Supreme Personality of Godhead using Prabhupada's terms, or the Western terminology of God. I just share with you, I had some discussion with a student at Washington University in St. Louis. She grew up in a Christian Scientist family, but her mother had read Bhagavad Gita when her mother was little. And so the daughter knew that the mother had read Bhagavad Gita. And when she saw an advertisement on campus for discussions on Bhagavad Gita, she was curious, because her mother had read Bhagavad Gita, although she's a Christian Scientist. So we had this nice discussion. I said, could you share with me what the Christian Scientist view is on different things? And if you like, I can share correspondingly what the Bhagavad Gita picture is on those same things. So we went through a whole, and there's a lot of match. I mean, reincarnation. Christian Scientists have a very clear idea of reincarnation. The soul distinct from the body. And their idea of reincarnate, well, anyway, without. So then I asked, what's the understanding of God from Christian Science? And it got fuzzy. Like, well, you know when you get there. And you can't know till you get there. Which was, you know, he's ad hoc, he's beyond the senses, so you can't know. But, you know, so those that got there, how do they know they got there? Is there such a thing as spiritual form? Because with spiritual form, there's spiritual senses. Just like we're here seated in the room. How do we know we're here in the room? We have senses and we can see the wall and hear some sound and so forth. So through our senses, we know where we are. So when you reach God, how are you going to know you're there? That means implied is you have spiritual form. Different than a physical form, a spiritual form. And then what's it like there? And she again said, well, you won't know till you get there. So I said, here's what the Vedas say. There's a place where God resides and it's eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And the name of the place is Goloka, which literally means the planet of the cows. And she went, no. So what do you mean? She said, well, you can't have cows. Well, you can't have cows. You know, as above, so below. So there's cows here. Why not cows in the kingdom of God? She said, no. Said, they're not ordinary cows. Here's the ordinary cows, and there's like transcendental cows. They can fulfill all desires. They're surabhi cows. Not just milk. They can give anything. She said, I have to think about it. I said, you're not going to understand by thinking about it. Because beyond your thinking power to understand the kingdom of God and what it's like there. You said it. You won't know till you get there. You won't just think about it. And it didn't scare her away. She was like, you know, I want to, because the exchange was warm, so I could say those things, kind of like, you know, get it out of the box of whatever. Not really understanding God has form, God has activities, God has loving exchanges, and there's all varieties. And he loves the brahmanas and he loves the cows. And he has that prerogative, so he loves cows. So Krishna, very right after all of this happened, he's out taking care of the cows. Not just because he's dutiful, he loves the cows. And the cows love him. I mean, all the living entities in Vrindavan have that same love for Krishna. And the cows especially, and Krishna reciprocates the love the cows have for him. Not just like a mode of goodness animal compared to, you know, ferocious animals or vicious animals. They're mode of goodness animals, but these are, you know, these are transcendental cows. And Krishna loves them. Along with all the other entities, beings with spiritual forms in the spiritual world. Because we've been hearing, you know, morning and evening class about all the residents of Vrindavan. Like Krishna has a spiritual form, they have spiritual forms. And their senses are for the satisfaction of Krishna's senses, and they're not thinking anything else. And Krishna's desire for happiness is all variegated, and so they're ready according to their capacity and their nature and so forth. They satisfy Krishna's senses. It's the kingdom of love. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of love. And it's, love doesn't look like this material world is a reflection, perverted reflection of everything in the spiritual world. Love here is my interest, my senses, etc. And even there may be like sacrifice for another's happiness. It's about my happiness. And my happiness gets pinched, and I don't know about this relationship anymore. It's a whole lot, it's unending and ever increasing and so forth. So that's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is non-different than God. I mean, Krishna and Krishna's abode and Krishna's associates and loving exchanges and the variety. So just like this chapter, there's only one more verse tomorrow. We'll complete the chapter. But, you know, sometimes the curtain opens and his divinity shows, and then sometimes the curtain closes, and it's just loving exchanges without any sense of divinity. Just love, whoever he is. At one point, Nanda says, he is whoever he is. He's my son. And that's kind of what's being said here, this verse that we discussed just now. I am what I am, and, you know, just treat me as your friend. Let's get over this, you know, who am I? I'm your friend. I'm your son. I'm your beloved, and let's go. That's his happiness. In the evening session, we've been discussing Brahma's prayers, chapter 14 of Canto 10. And after Brahma finishes his prayers, I like this. What does Krishna say? Nothing. He didn't say, you know, Hari Bol. He just is silent. And Brahma then circumambates Krishna and goes back to his abode in Brahmaloka. And Krishna goes back to the cowherd boys because it's right in his prayers. We read it already. But Krishna is more pleased with the residents of Vrindavan's love than he is by all sacrifices and all praises and all hymns. So Brahma is giving this brilliant narration about details about Krishna being the cause of all causes and the source of everything and etc. Which is, it's wonderful. And Krishna, it's not that Krishna doesn't care for that, but he's particularly attracted to the love of the cowherd boys and the cows, and he just goes back to having lunch. And when he goes back to having lunch, the cowherd boys say, "Oh, Krishna, you're so attached to us, you can't even be away from us for a moment. Sit down and complete your lunch." Like Yogamaya. The curtain is closed again. Sometimes. It's all by his, and he enjoys lifting Govardhan Hill, and he enjoys the astonishment of the resident of Vrindavan when he does that, and he enjoys them again becoming, "I'm just your friend and your son," and you're like, "Let's get on with it." He enjoys that too. Unlimited way. So it's the picture, the worldview in Vrindavan, and our looking at Vrindavan, is that the nature of the love. We're going to hear tomorrow about the disinterest in the different kinds of liberation. And the theme of the different kinds of liberation, you've heard, and maybe you've been puzzled, because I have, why the Sayuja Mukti devotees don't want to merge because there's no service. When you merge, there's no service. And, the devotees want service, but supposing it's Salokya Mukti, like attaining the planet of the Lord, or the other Vaishnava liberations, and the devotees don't want them. What if the Lord wants you to have them? Why would you say no? And the answer is given by our acharyas is that is taken to infer the Vaikuntha position, not the intimacy of Braja. It's again the emphasis on the love of Braja, the love of the Vrijbasis is super excellent. And at least followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we're being encouraged again and again in multiple ways to become attracted to that quality of love. Brahma, from the evening discussion, chapter 14, he doesn't consider himself eligible for that kind of love. But he wants the mercy of those who have that kind of love. He wants the dust from their feet. He wants the dust from Krishna's feet. He wants this humble position of and appreciating their exalted, super exalted position. So that's a nice position for us, like our discussion yesterday about, I'm way down here and this is way up there. Just appreciate these eternal associates of Krishna in Braja. And so hear about them, chant about them, remember them, appreciate them, worship them, aspire for their mercy. Because they're so special, they're so dear to Krishna. And Krishna holds them dear to him. That's stimulations for ecstatic love. That's what the sound vibration of that meditation, contemplation. We're way down here. That sound vibration, contemplation, meditation elevates our consciousness. So that the worldly stuff down here, it diminishes in its weightiness upon us. The struggle with, Daivyeshu Gunamayi Mamamaya Duratyaya. The struggle with this material energy. It's a struggle. It doesn't say, you become attracted to Vrindavan, the struggle is over. But you can easily cross beyond the struggle consciousness. And you're moving in Krishna consciousness and making decisions and performing activities that are directed towards Krishna's pleasure instead of, you know, my pleasure. And I'm not having a good time right now. I'm going through, you know, somebody said something mean, or I stubbed my toe, or something. Some misfortune came into my life. One can look beyond the temporary and see, as we were saying yesterday, what's the goal? And is it attainable? What's the means to reach the goal? I'm way down here. What's the means to reach the goal? This question that you brought up came up again yesterday evening. Did you hear the evening class? Yes? Not yet. Okay. The same question was asked. So I'm purposefully discussing it again because it seems to be in the air right now. And it's reasonable because this is very high and we're not so high. So let me go back to the kitchen and prepare the sabjis and chapatis. That I can do. Okay, so let's see if there's some discussion.
We have 20 minutes. In relation to the last point,
okay.
People also can take it in a artificial way and try to imitate and do things also. That's the thought I'm having, Guru Maharaj. Comment.
Okay. Yeah, that's a... Ignorance is dangerous, and thinking oneself, artificially thinking oneself elevated is also dangerous. It's another kind of ignorance. So we just admire and worship and praise and appreciate it, so on. Hear, remember, glorify. Anything from anybody in the room?
Maharaj, while reading, you mentioned something about Parashara Munis, that is Vishnu Purana.
Yeah.
The explanation was from a different kalpa.
Yes.
So, it's inconceivable anyway for me. Once in a day of Brahma, we are fortunate, like 5,000 years he was there.
Yeah.
To hear all this.
Yes.
It was from a different kalpa. That means, is it again on the same planet Earth or is it different universe?
Oh, gosh. Gosh. I think we'll have to ask Jiva Goswami or Parashara Muni. There's no indication which place. But specifically a different kalpa. And kalpa means day of Brahma. So it could be the same, could be, we don't know. We don't know. Different universe. Because his pastimes from this place goes to the next place. The pastimes are eternal, they're always going on. Like the sun rising is always going on somewhere. So the pastimes of Krishna are always going on somewhere. That's the context of the question. So there's no indication.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. My question is, I mean, it's been there for a while. The five rasas, when the devotee know that Krishna is so great, the dasya and santa rasas, maybe can be easy, but the other three rasas may be difficult. But you said curtains open and close, yoga maya. It's very difficult to understand or conceive that, okay, with somebody that is very great, to have that kind of relationship with him that the Vrajavasis are having. So how to understand that?
It's affection. That's how. A phrase that Prabhupada liked to repeat a lot was a phrase spoken by Shukadeva Goswami when narrating Krishna's pastimes in the forest with the cowherd boys. Krita Punya Punja was the little phrase. How many pious activities these cowherd boys have performed. And then we should understand it doesn't mean mode of goodness, piety. It's the other kind. It's transcendental piety, because there's different kinds of piety. So it's how do they become eligible to be with Krishna all day long and just play with him with that kind of intimacy? Even Shukadeva Goswami is astonished, what to speak of you and me. It's not ordinary. So then that leads to the question, so what about us? What about you and me? Is it A or B? It's just forever they're who they are and we're who we are and that's it. We're stuck because, or B, Lord Chaitanya has given a means by which one can enter into those pastimes and be with the pastimes of Krishna eternally. Not as the nitya-siddha cowherd boys, but, you know, sadhana-siddha cowherd boys or gopis or whatever. And the answer is B. And it's resting upon Krishna's very kind. That was this, you know, this other celebrated verse. Even Putana was given the position of an assistant to Mother Yasoda in the spiritual world. And what did she do? And she did some bad stuff, but at least what Lord Brahma says, she dressed herself like a devotee. Or elsewhere, she had motherly affection. Specifically it said, when she saw Krishna, I'm going to kill him, but there was, what a lovely child. There was some motherly affection. Krishna accepted that. So we don't adopt the mentality of Putana, we adopt the mentality of sadhakas as following Rupa Goswami's teachings, which are Lord Chaitanya's teachings, which are the Bhagavatam's teachings. We honor and admire those residents and get their mercy. That's the bhakti process that Lord Chaitanya taught. We're always looking to advanced personalities. Maybe one's more proximate to us than the Brijbasis. But advanced, elevated souls and praying for their mercy. It's again and again and again and again in the writings and the teachings and the songs of our acharyas. It's part of our process. I mean, it makes sense, but it's specifically part of our process. As elevated as it is, there are persons who are very kind and they distribute it. They distribute that mercy and that capacity. So here we are, struggling souls looking at, you know, elevated souls, appreciating them and eager for their mercy. That's coming up with the evening class, specifically Lord Brahma's prayer. Wishing to be a blade of grass. We're going to hear some more tonight. But so that he can get the mercy of the residents of Vrindavan. He considers to be a blade of grass more fortunate than the post of Brahma. And that's, you know, the post of Brahma is way beyond heaven. How exalted are the residents of Vrindavan. So, hearing about them means through sound we're associating with them. And Krishna's love for them and their love for Krishna, and the sound vibration brings us there. We're far from there. They're back to that theme. We're really far from there. But the sound vibration carries us there. It's a very gentle and merciful process. In Canto 1, Chapter 3, one of the concluding verses is, the Bhagavatam is like the brilliance of the sun and the coolness of the moon. Because the sun is scorching hot. You know, depending on what climate and what part of the world. But the sun is scorching hot and the moon is cooling and soothing. The Bhagavatam is cooling and soothing. But with the same, all the light of the sun. Simultaneously. It can purify and it's soothing. So it's just hearing. And what's our qualification? We're just covered tiny specks. Getting this, so immersion is a good idea. At least, you know, regularly here and makes us qualified. We've got a long ways to go, but it makes us qualified. The potency is there. Anyone else in the room, or we'll go to the online questions? Okay.
Hi, Krishna. This question is from Radha. She has two questions. Do all Rajavasis and Gopas knew that Krishna is the Supreme Lord? And another question?
This came up yesterday, before you go to the other question. Jivana Jivana asked this question. And I don't have a, you know, statement from our acharyas that said yes or no. But the thought that I shared when Jamuna Jivana asked is, the elders may have their understanding and the little cowherd boys may not have the same understanding. Second question.
Krishna loves everyone, but he is not being partial to his cows.
He's not being partial to the cows?
Yes.
Well, he's equal to everyone, but he reciprocates according to their regard for him. Name dvesho stina priyaha. That's the Bhagavad Gita language. From Krishna's position, neither is he holding dvesha, or disregard towards some, or priya towards others. Rather, he's reciprocating with their regard for him. Prabhupada's explanation goes like this. Kamsa says, "You're my enemy." And Krishna says, "Oh, you want me to be your enemy? Okay, I'll be your enemy." And then he becomes the enemy. You know, the nice scene of killing Kamsa. So, and the wrestlers and, you know, so, but he just reciprocates and someone holds affection for him. Oh, you wish to have affection for me? Okay. He's reciprocating according to one's regard for him. Yayatamam prapadyante. Tangs tadaiva bhajamyaham. So according to their bhajami, their worship of him, their regard for him, he reciprocates.
And this is from Sandhya Mataji. Sandha Mataji. Can you please explain in detail?
Keep going.
About Sandarbhas.
About?
Sandarbhas. Sandarbha. The Kriti Sandarbha and all that.
Which?
Sandarbhas.
Jiva Goswami's.
Sandarbhas.
Thunderbolt?
Sandarbhas.
Sandarbhas.
I don't understand the word that you're saying.
The Sandarbha, like Preeti Sandarbha.
Oh, Sandarbha. Okay. Sandarbha.
Yeah.
It's, I'm used to hearing it with accent on the second syllable. Sandarbha. Maybe it's not Thandarbha. Okay. Jiva Goswami Sandarbhas.
Which you have been explaining in detail yesterday in a couple of days. And you mentioned about Vishnu Sandarbha, Bhagava Sandarbha.
No, I didn't. It's not Vishnu Sandarbha, Krishna Sandarbha.
So difference between Vishnu Tattva and Vishnu Sandarbha, I think. Question is.
Well, here's the six Sandarbhas in sequence. Then the person can send in the second question, I mean the follow-up question, because I'm not sure what their question is. The number one is Tattva Sandarbha, the foundation of how do we know Krishna? How do we know the absolute truth? And it's through the Vedas. And then there's a number of other things that's in Tattva Sandarbha. Then he goes to Paramatma Sandarbha. And before, so that's Vishnu within this material world that's using Radhika Raman's language, a suppressed version of Bhagavan. That he doesn't show the fullness of Bhagavan, he shows less than the fullness of Bhagavan, Paramatma, because he deals with Prakriti. And how does that work? Paramatma Sandarbha. Before he speaks about Krishna, he speaks about Bhagavat, or the principle of Bhagavan. And then the fourth is, amongst the forms of Bhagavan, there's Krishna that's superlative. That's four Sandarbhas. And then number five, so those first four is Sambandha, or the relationship between all things and their source. Then comes, what after Sambandha comes what? Abhideya. So that's Bhakti Sandarbha. Acting in one's relationship with the source of everything is Bhakti. And then finally is Prayojana, the ultimate conclusion of acting in your relationship is Prema, and he calls that Preeti Sandarbha. So there's the six. Now, I'm not sure what this person is asking, because it sounds like she's not, or whoever it is, has not understood this little overview I just gave.
This question is from Rupa Vilas Prabhu.
Okay.
Krishna loves cows, which are animals in the mode of goodness, but in Srimad Bhagavatam, those who are in material consciousness are compared with cows and asses. I wonder why they are grouped with asses, which are in mode of ignorance.
Well, that's a nice question. I've heard that question asked before. it's in simple language, it's an animal. So animals that are in the mode of goodness are also animals. And he holds special the cows. But at the same time, they're not, the human form of life is beyond even a cow. The human form of life is meant for self-realization, and cows don't have that capacity. They can be nice, but they're not going to become self-realized.
Satya Prabhu asks, when Brahma and Indra offered prayers, Krishna did not tell anything. When Mother Kunti offered prayers, he smiled. When Prahlad offered prayers, he expressed his satisfaction. What do we understand from these different reciprocations?
He has different relationships. I mean, Prahlad is so exalted in his affection for Lord Srinadeva. It's not just, well, specifically, like, not the same as, but like the resident of Vrindavan, he has no other shelter. And, you know, Brahma is certainly super exalted. We don't minimize Brahma's position, but Prahlad is more exalted than Brahma. Prahlad is more exalted than Indra. Prahlad is super exalted. That's how we understand. And the Lord is reciprocating with each one.
Govinda Mohini Mate was asking, Vrajavasis had natural mood and attraction to love Krishna and please Krishna in all circumstances. Being covered, I do not have that. To help me, I am given an exercise from my Bhakti-Shastri teachers. So the exercise is to remember to have intention to please Krishna during my sadhana and services. It seems mechanical and dry to do these exercises. Can you please comment on importance of doing these exercises?
Sure. It'll give strength. The potential is there, but the potential is now not evidenced or maturing, what to speak of matured. So just to give a little simple example, physical therapy. I learned a lot from visiting a physical therapist when I had a knee problem. Because I they were testing to see what I could do. And I couldn't bend my knee at all. They put me on a stationary bike. I could move it about, 3 inches. But I couldn't go all the way around. But the potential was there, just that things were swollen, et cetera, and so by, 15 of those and 20 of those and 30 of those 3 times a day, it was mechanical, but, slowly, 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 the motor skills came back, etc. And then, so it initially it was mechanical, but I found, this is another comment, I understood from the physical therapist, this was in New York City, what's your intention is really important. So her question was, so when you get on the other side of this physical therapy, what's your goal? What's your sankalpa? She didn't use sankalpa. And I said, well, I want to be able to go up and down stairs like I'm not an old man. And she said, okay, great, wrote it down. What else? And I said, well, I don't know what else. And she said, well, like, you want to get back out on the tennis court and play tennis? And I said, no, that's not. Well, think about it. So I thought about it. I may have shared this a number of times, but I thought, this is the beginning of the summer and there's going to be a visit, yatra going to Vrindavan. I want to be able to walk around Govardhan Hill, not ride on a rickshaw or a taxi or something. I want to walk around Govardhan Hill. So the next time I went, I told her, I thought about your question and said, I'm going to India in the fall. She said, oh, I have a friend who's going to India in the fall. Where are you going? So I said, I'm going to Vrindavan. It's a place outside of Delhi. She said, really? Tell me about the place. I'll tell my friend. Maybe she can go there too. It's like, a social personality. And I said, there's a hill and it takes about 6 hours walking swiftly to go around this hill. And I want to be able to go all the way around. She said, great. So then I started to pick up on, it's important what your intention is behind what you're doing. So when I was doing 15 of those and 20 of those and 30 of those, it was really mechanical. When I was thinking, I want to walk around Gopher Dung Hill, it wasn't mechanical anymore. It was inspirational. And the subjective appreciation was, not only my mind was not like bummed out, did I have to do 50, you know, just take some time out and do some of these. It worked better. It was more effective. If the, when the intention is clear, the mechanical subsides. And it becomes, it moves towards spontaneous. Or that which is natural. So same with this exercise. It may seem mechanical, but what's the purpose behind the exercise? It's to align with Krishna in the choices you make for pleasing Krishna, because that's bhakti. It's a mechanical exercise because you're not used to thinking that way. Or not just you. We are not used to thinking that way. So you exercise, you know, 15 of those and 20 of those and 30 of those and voila. Your motor skills are back. Or your wanting to please Krishna tendency becomes awakened. So initially it's going to feel mechanical. That's okay. Be clear what the intention is behind the exercise. And it gives life to the exercise.
This is from Amol Prabhu from Houston. The Bhagavatam appears when Krishna wraps up his earthly pastimes. Does this mean the Bhagavatam comes only once in a day of Brahma?
No, Bhagavatam is eternal. And it okay, so he's not saying is it eternal or temporary.
Every Kali Yuga.
Well, that's a nice question. I don't know. There's a Vyasadeva at the end of every Dwarpa Yuga, and what Vyasadeva does at the end of every Dwarpa Yuga is he compiles the Vedas. And the Bhagavad Purana is part of the Vedas. So he must compile the Bhagavad Purana along with all the Vedas. What the form and content and subject matter is, I've never seen anything that says what it is, but it manifests every, the end of every Dwarpa Yuga, the beginning of Kali Yuga. And the form and content, etc., how many verses, etc.
This question is from Mahamantra Prabhu. Will there be parental affection on Lord Vishnu in Vaikuntha, just like Mother Yashoda?
No. Why? I'm just responding. No. There isn't a mother of Narayan.
And Girish Prabhu asks, has anybody in Prabhupada's family revealed that they are practicing Raghavananga Bhakti following Vrajavasis? I have heard...
In his family, meaning his children?
Prabhupada's family, like in our movement.
Oh, the Hare Krishna movement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looks like Gaur Govinda Maharaj's book, where he gives a hint about it, but not explicit.
Well, two things. The answer is yes. And because this Gaudiya line is a raga mark. It is in Rupa Goswami's teachings. And the second answer is, those who are engaged in that way, they don't converse about it. It's internal, and it's something that stays internal. It's not something you speak about in public forum, other than, you know, what you're personally cultivating, other than this is the teaching of Rupa Goswami. It's something like not the same, but it's something like deity worship. Deity worship is performed on veneration. And somebody who becomes advanced in deity worship, they may feel some feelings about their deity and their relationship with their deity, and they don't go blah, 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 talking about my relationship with my deity. That's not, when somebody does like that, you can understand something about the person. Because when it's genuine, you don't talk about it. It's internal. Okay.
Amara Mataji is asking, clarifying on understanding that, does this cowherd pastime portrays that they approach proper authority to understand Krishna's position, as opposed to Lord Brahma who tried to understand on his own?
No. Who's he going to go to? Brahma. These are citizens or residents of Braja, and they go to their king. Who's Brahma going to go to?
Radha Vallabha Prabhu is asking, Krishna's loving associates seek shelter of him without deep focus on temporary suffering.
Deep?
Focus on temporary suffering.
Okay.
So, tendency for us, then the next one, he says, Lord's associates focus. So maybe he's meaning down, okay. Lord's eternal associates focus only
what,
on...
What, whose? Lord Krishna's associates?
Yeah. Like he's saying, Lord's eternal associates focus...
The Lord's eternal... Read slowly. The Lord's eternal associates...
Focus always on shelter of Lord in temporary sufferings. Is tendency of sadhakas primary focus on suffering on another a function of...
On what kind of function?
The sadhakas faith in the process, the...
I'm confused.
I'll just rephrase, Guru Maharaj.
Okay. Can you understand the question? Can you kind of understand? Can you speak? Don't just read it. Just explain what his question is.
So the Lord's eternal associates are able to focus on the Lord even when they're in temporary suffering.
Yes. And then sadhakas don't do that.
Sadhakas don't do that. So is this a function of a tricky mind?
Tricky mind. Oh, yeah. That there's all kinds of other ways to say how the tricky mind tricks us. But, yeah. The mind is the king, not Krishna, in material consciousness. There's conceptions of life, and we're ruled by those conceptions of life carried by the mind, which means also the senses. And we're ruled. And we're helplessly being carried by that machine. And we're very accustomed to it. It's not a comfortable ride. We know it's not a comfortable ride, but we're not ready to let go of that vehicle that's carrying us. But by long standing conditioning, and Maya's got us in that grip, and she doesn't want to let us go. Unless we can, anyway. So there's a method, the bhakti method. But, you know, it's a struggle because, you know, we think acting for the pleasure of Krishna is dry. It's not like criticizing anybody. It's just the design of this prison house, it's really got us locked up. Maya knows exactly how to keep us locked up, and she's doing it. It's hard to get out. Okay.
So his comment was, it's happening even in spite of Lord's benedictions on us.
Yes.
with this condition.
Yes,
state, yeah.
That's correct.
And then this is Ram Sharana Prabhu. Why one struggles to perform sadhana bhakti, like waking up early, offering bhoga, deity worship, etc. Is it because of no faith in the process or Krishna or poor time management?
Or?
Poor time management.
Well, it's so many things, but the essence is we're conditioned souls. And we're conditioned by the forces of conditioning. And so, we carry on with conditioning and trying to overcome it. It's not just time management. It's where our shelter is, and conversely, where our shelter isn't. Okay, that's it.
Difference between mundane piety and transcendental piety.
Difference between mundane and transcendental piety. It's discussed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, a commentary on a verse referencing Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There's mundane piety, one of the classic descriptions of mundane piety is digging wells and planting trees by the side of the road. Or, a modern one is opening schools and hospitals. Or helping a little old lady cross the street. So doing acts that you're helping on the physical plane. And then there's piety that's transcendental, and that includes even unknowingly doing something that's beneficial for Krishna's service. Unknowingly doing something that's beneficial for Krishna's service. That's knowingly or unknowingly. That's transcendental piety. Yeah.
This is Giri Prabhu. Bhagavatam describes Krishna Leela with gopis. And we know that Krishna Leela is happening in Goloka. I'm curious, is there any book that covers this Goloka Leela for enlightenment?
What happens in this world is the same as what happens in that world. It's not different. With the exception of what Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls occasional pastimes, such as the killing of demons. And the birth pastime, because there's no birth pastime. But other than that, they're identical. So it's right there in the Bhagavatam, which is looking through the lens of the occasional and the eternal. And dancing with the gopis, that's eternal. And other herding of the cows and just, meeting demons and confronting them, that's another thing. No, Indra sending torrents of rain to kill the cows. That's not there. But there's a bhava like that of danger, and then Krishna protects the Brijvasis from danger. Okay, we're done. Srila Prabhupada ki.